Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
Amen. I think everybody has a desire to be known. Everybody has a desire to be just, you know, familiar with something, especially in the year and in the decade of social media. If you're unfamiliar with social media, then you've been living under a rock. I just got to put it out there, you know, because there's just everything in social media. There's WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. Somebody has something. Even my mother, who was on early stages of Alzheimer's, has a Facebook page, okay? So anybody can have a social media connection. And so it's so interesting because people want to get to know each other. They want to be known. And it's so interesting because when I hear the word David, I came across something so interesting. I was watching my kids on YouTube, and they're on the computer. My other son is in his computer. I'm thinking, man, this is crazy. Everybody's connected through the media right now. And so my daughter's watching this lady make kind of something called squeegees. I don't know what they are. They're like plushy toys that you squish, you know? And so the little girls are crazy about this thing. So she's watching this girl make them, fix them, and I'm just sitting there just mesmerized, like, somebody actually watches this stuff. And I asked her, I said, Abby, how many views does it have? She scrolls down, it's got 1 million views. That I was like, 1 million views? And I said, how many followers does she have, subscribers? She said, oh, let me see here, 4 million subscribers to watch somebody fix a plushy toy. At that moment, I was absolutely intrigued as to what is the world that is happening around us. Whether you know it or not, it is happening. And a lot of times when we're unaware of our surroundings, things are moving forward and we cease to influence the things around us. And when I think of David, I think of a true influencer. When I think of David, I think about a true influencer, because this world is so incredible. And that is a famous phrase nowadays called the influencer. The influencer is a person who is able to drive people through their channel, their media connection, to do something on their behalf that is so amazing. If King David would have an Instagram page, it looks like this. So I wanted to show you his Instagram page. And so this is his area of influence. And so David would have connected with people some way, somehow, showing some of the things that he does, because he wants to connect with everyone. He wants to lead people into what he wants to do. And as an influencer, a lot of times we have to understand what is happening to us in society. I have a verse for you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. It's an amazing verse. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Look at that. It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Wow. How influential do you have to be so the New Testament opens with your name calling you the daddy of Jesus? How influential do you have to be? Think about it. The word of God just opened up and said, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that one that was coming, the prophecies that came along came out of the seed of this one man called David. And for us to be known and for us to influence even years later, we have to understand the things that David did to become an influencer throughout generations, not just through a fad, not just through a YouTube channel, not just through an Instagram influence, but a generation after generation, to the point that Matthew felt compelled to open the New Testament by saying, Jesus Christ is the son of David. Yeah. Wow. Jesus Christ is the son of David. And to be a true influencer, we have to understand some of the things that are going on around us, and that David himself did in so many practical ways in order to drive himself into the story, into the lineage of Jesus. Because remember, David was not the first king. It was Saul. David came afterwards and actually remained influential ever since. The word of God says that his throne will remain forever. Strong will remain forever. My friends, there's nothing more influential than that. Time after time. And for us to be known, and for us to do something that is amazing, for us to understand who David is and what he actually did, that portion of him drew my attention. As a matter of fact, I've read Matthew many times and had never noticed that it said that. I've read so fast that genealogy, I never noticed it. Till I decided to study David, and then I find this crazy verse. I'm like, it was actually there all along. There's three things I want to focus tonight that David did as an influencer and that can help us to generate and transform our life and the things that we do. Because unless we get that, we remain the same. And one of the things influencers do is influencers work on their craft and anonymity. Influencers work on their craft and anonymity. And I know that's a big word. Basically, influencers work on their stuff when nobody knows them. When nobody knows them. I've heard this phrase so many times. People say, when I get there, I will do. My friends, if you're not doing it today, when you get there, you won't do either. I am so sorry, but that is just the reality. If you don't give today, you ain't giving when you get the million. It just ain't gonna happen. It starts today. If you're not loving now, don't worry about later, because you ain't gonna be loving. It starts now. Starts when nobody knows you. Starts when you're living a simple life, when you're just a mama taking care of kids at home and you have a passion for something. Do that, because you have no idea how you can influence people. You have no idea if your kids can become something amazing, because mama made an investment in myself. Mama took me to church and she read the Bible with me and she influenced me in a direction, and your kids can do something amazing because that's what happened to David. He was nobody. And you hear this mentioned a lot of times. He was such a nobody that his own dad didn't remember he had him as a kid. When they went to anoint David as king, they asked him, where are your sons? He brought them all. And Samuel said, you know, like, hey, these guys don't have it. You have another kid? His own dad said, oh, yeah, I have another. My bad. Can you imagine that? Yet we open Matthew 1:1 and says that Jesus was the son of the guy whose own dad forgot. Because true influencers work at their craft in anonymity. And it's so crazy. This world, social media, is insane right now. I don't know if you've heard, but I'm sure you've heard about the fight that was all over the place about Chick-fil-A and Popeye's chicken sandwich. Did anybody hear that? Have you had it? No, I can't catch one, so whatever. But it went crazy, this fight over chicken sandwiches. I don't understand what was the fight. I was like, what's the big deal? But it went crazy. And it went so crazy that social media exploded over these two places competing over chicken sandwiches. I have a few memes. I know you might not be into it and whatever, but this is so interesting. You have to know what kids are into and what young people are doing nowadays. And here's one referring to the Wakanda story. And so if you've seen the movie, you'll understand. Popeye's chicken just show you the world today. Chick-fil-A is moral, and the guy saying, this is your chicken, right? And if you've seen the movie, you understand what I was referring to. Here's the other one that I thought was pretty funny. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday, so you know. And it says, FYI, we don't run out of chicken sandwich, right? Chickens, but because Popeye's ran out of chicken. And on the other side, FYI, we're open on Sundays. And so, but this is the funny one, because Chick-fil-A is a Christian company. So Jesus is saying, I see you all going to Popeye's, right? So you don't want to get caught by Jesus going to Popeye's. But I say this because Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, was such an interesting man. He's a Christian man, founded a company, his Christian principle. He believed that everybody should be in church on Sunday. So he closed his company on Sundays and said, I want my workers to be with their family and be on Sunday. So here's a company that worked in anonymity. This company closes one day a week. Every other food chain opened 7 days a week, all days of the year. I believe Chick-fil-A just this year became either the second or the third largest food company in the world, and they close one day a week to honor the Lord. Wow. Largest company. Crazy, crazy. That's not what's impressive. There's a famous story about Truett Cathy that he was in a board meeting when there was a company called Boston Market, I believe. They were in the chicken business. Many years ago, you probably never ate there. I ate there, I think, when I first got to the U.S., late 90s, early 2000s, and so they were still around. And so they were losing shares and losing finances. And there were a board meeting, everybody arguing, how are we going to compete with Boston Market? How are we going to take away the chicken company? How are we going to do this? And Truett Cathy said, very angry, the only time people say that he was ever angry, he pounded on the table and said, stop. And he said, listen, if we get better, people will demand we get bigger. If we get better, people will demand we get bigger. My friends, Chick-fil-A worked in anonymity when everyone else was going crazy about Boston Market. Boston Market no longer exists as a company. When everyone's going crazy about this, these guys just do the right thing time after time after time. And in our Christian life, it's about doing the right thing, the small things, every time when nobody knows. The prayer, the verses, the service, the attending, the being good, the being kind, the little things, time and time and time. All of a sudden, God goes, I like you. I see what you're doing. I'm going to open the door. But when you get there, unless you did it now, you won't know what to do there, which is what happened to Popeyes. They ran out of chicken sandwiches because they had no idea what that felt like. They had no idea what being big and popular felt like, and they never worked. Here's David. David is anointed king. 1 Samuel 16, David is anointed king. And when he's anointed king, he starts doing his thing. The Bible says, literally says, he's anointed king and went back to the sheep. That's where he was at. He was taking care of his father's sheep. You'll hear that a lot in our series, just what he did as a shepherd. And so he had a very menial task, humble task. As a matter of fact, it was a terrible task, really, to take care of animals, look after the poop, make sure they eat. I mean, it's just a terrible task. Let's just put it out there. While his brothers are in the army, receiving honors. I mean, these guys have a different life. He has a rough life. God anoints him a king, says, that's my guy. He goes back to do what he does. King Saul is rejected by God, and an evil spirit comes upon him, a demonic spirit. And then he says, man, is there anybody that can play worship music that will release me from this stuff? I just need somebody to minister to the Lord. Look what it says. 1 Samuel 16, 17, 19, New Living Translation. All right, Saul said, find someone who plays well and bring him here. I just want you to know that Saul did not say, find somebody who can practice guitar now. Do you ought to leave it there? In anonymity, David practiced. So now that he gets the job opportunity, he ain't practicing now. So whatever you're doing now, get good at it. Get good at it. And so it says, I want him to play now. Verse 18, one of the servants of Saul said, one of Jesse's, again, nobody even knows the kid's name. One of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he is a brave warrior. How do they know he's a warrior? How do they know that? In anonymity, this guy's doing something. He's a brave warrior, a man of war. Already in his teenage year, people knew you do not want to fight that guy. A man of war and has good judgment. How do they know that? Because in anonymity, this guy's making the right decisions before everybody sees it. When there's a few people seeing it, somebody says, he's different. He's doing something different. And continues saying, and good judgment. He also, just to add it, he's a fine-looking young man. And the Lord is with him. Look at that. I mean, all of this happened in anonymity. So David goes and starts helping Saul, playing the music. The Lord shows up. Saul hates this guy so much that the Bible says that he tried to pin him to the wall with a javelin. You want that job? I mean, if you complain about your boss ain't showing up shooting at you, right? I mean, this is what Saul did. And the Bible says that David just continued to serve this guy. And one time, you know the story of Goliath. Goliath comes around and is devouring Israel, and nobody's stepping up to the plate. This is probably the most famous story of David has, other than his sin, is David and Goliath. And so he shows up. Saul says, hey, I can fight him. Saul said, okay, put my armor on. David says, this is not for me, man. I've never been trained. I just know my thing. And look what it says. Saul says, how do you know you can defeat the giant? Look at his answer. It says, then David saw to say, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. Once again, the job that nobody wanted in obscurity, David says, I'm going to refer to that job in my resume. He said, I used to keep my father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, continued, says, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and says, and I struck it and killed it. I mean, this guy was out for war defending a sheep. If you don't do it when it's small, you ain't gonna do it when it's large. And this is the reason why David was such a fierce warrior, a defender of Israel, a defender of the cause of Christ, a defender of the cause of God, because he did it when it didn't really matter. When it didn't really matter, he was doing it. And I think a lot of people in social media day today, they want people, they want to matter so bad, they do bad things publicly. They do bad things publicly. David did great things in private because later on he's going to do great things publicly for everyone to know. And it's so important for us to understand that. And it says, verse 36, your servant had killed a lion and a bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Whew. Seeing that he has defiled the armies or defied the armies of the living God. I want you to know something. David had the right reason for the fight. It was about God. And I think in a social media day, it's about my thing. It's about my influence. It's about me being known. And, you know, I know we're a crowd of mix of all ages. Maybe you're not in an age where you're saying, well, I don't need to be known. But I can guarantee you, you want people to know what you did. You want the day you die for people to remember you. Because that is a desire of people's heart. Because God placed it there. We want to matter. And when we want to matter, we have to do all the little things in order to influence the direction of the life that we're living. Number two, influences understand timing. Influences understand timing. It's so important for us to know timing because people, when you miss your timing, you're going to be off and it's not going to be good. It's going to take some time for you to build a process for you to get there. I have a funny story. I mean, it's probably embarrassing for people to hear, but I don't care. I'm over it. I think I shared in a few places, but the first time I asked my wife to marry me, it was the wrong timing. So I had to ask the second time, just so you know. And so I remember, I was like, oh, I think she likes me. I think she's into me. I'm into her. I really like her. And I just misread the girl, right? And so she went to visit my mom. And so things were clicking. And I show up. I'm ready to kind of say the things. And she looks at me like, oh, no, I realize what's going to happen. Thank God social media wasn't big back then, because it would have been bad. It would have had a million views for sure of my shame, but that's not happening, right? So I didn't film it. And so when we talked, I realized, oh man, she's not ready. It was quite embarrassing. I missed my timing. In order to get the timing right, you have to know what is happening. You have to know the things that are around you. And social media is all about timing. It is a crazy world. Again, I had to study this because I see my kids being influenced in such a way. Most of you, maybe you have grandkids to do this, or you do it yourself, but there is a game called Fortnite. There's a game called Fortnite. Who's ever heard of a game called Fortnite here? Let me see. Look at that. More people than they have accounts online. All right. Fortnite is a crazy game. It's a game that is happening everywhere. My children play it. Your children or grandkids are playing it. If they're not playing it, I can guarantee you they're talking about it. And it's such a crazy world because one game connects the entire planet at one time. Think about it. This is the world we're living in. My friends, I grew up when the phone had a cable attached to it. That's when I grew up. I had to dial it this way. And if I wanted a private conversation, I had to cover my mouth and huddle in a corner. Those were the days I grew up in. That's no longer. The world's connected in such a way that is unbelievable. And one of the most influential guys in this world is a guy named Richard Blevins, also known as Ninja. And Ninja has over 21 million subscribers on YouTube. And in 2019, he started earning $500,000 a month playing a video game online. $500,000 a month. I already bought my kid a camera and built a room because we need to pay the house. I'm just saying. And so this guy's so crazy that he was put on ESPN magazine as the first esport athlete to ever be recognized. This is how influential. So all of our children, I need you to hear this. All of our children are being influenced by a guy with pink hair out of LA, showing them how to play a video game. That's the world we live in. But David understood something different. David understood about timing, that in God's timing, see, at some point this is going to go away. But what David was trying to do had an eternal impact. So amazing that the writer Matthew said, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus, who's actually the son of David, a king you already know. Because he understood timing. David did some things right. David knew that his time was coming, but it wasn't there yet. So I'm going to keep doing the small things so that I can get the large things when my timing comes. And for a lot of us, we blow the opportunity because we either run too fast or we ignore it for too long. My friends, we have to connect with God in order to get the timing right, and the things that are happening in eternity, the things that are happening in the atmosphere, in the spirit, things are happening all the time. And if we don't get the timing right, we're going to miss where God is going. And David focused so much on that understanding timing. David had to leave Saul because Saul went crazy and wanted to kill him. And at one point, you guys probably know this already, but Saul is chasing David. He said, I'm done with this guy. I want to kill him. Grabs 3,000 guys, I believe, to chase after David with only 600 guys. David was such a fear warrior. With 600 guys, he would flatten entire armies. I mean, these guys, I don't know who's going to make a movie, but that would be the coolest movie ever. I love war movies. But David was an amazing warrior. And when I read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, it's unbelievable what he did. And so Saul went after him. He's in a cave. Saul has to do his business. So, you know, he doesn't have, you know, skinny jeans, none of that stuff, right? So he's got to strip all the way, takes his thing to do his business. And David is watching him. And David and two other guys go grab a piece of his cloth, of his robe, cut a piece. And then David walks away and says, hey, king. Well, he calls him my father, really has respect for him. Hey, king, look what I'm holding. I could have killed you, and I didn't. But I want you to know and see the reasoning. Look at this. 1 Samuel 24, verse 11 says this. Moreover, my father, see, David says, yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand? For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Now, I need you to understand what happened. You probably know this. Let me put it in terms of today. Your boss comes to you and said, you are the next manager of the office. Yet for the next 10 years, the old manager is still running the office. At some point you go, I'm going to sabotage this thing because I want my job. I want that desk and I want the salary. Right? Don't act holy. You're like, I wouldn't do that. You would do that because that is the nature of humanity. I want better and I want more. But because David understood timing, he did something so crucial. He said, look what I have in my hand. And he says, yet you hunt my life to take it. David is saying, I'm good to you. Now listen to this. Let the Lord judge between you and me. And let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. Here's David. I understand perfect timing from heaven perspective. And I'm not going to take the job. I'm going to let God bring that to me. I know I'm anointed. I know I'm blessed. I know God is opening door, but he's the one who's going to put me in the right place at the right time for that I need to do. And my friends, in a world like today where people are promoting their stuff above anything else, people miss the timing. And for us as Christian, we have to understand there is a heavenly timing for everything we do in life. And to be a true influencer like David was, we got to know, where is God placing me? Where do I have to do? What is my next step in the stage of life that I'm in? Otherwise, if I miss that, I'm going to miss what he's doing in my life. Third and last one for tonight is influencers know value. Influencers know value. People today have to understand value. And it's been said many times that value is what people are willing to pay for. It does not matter what you think it's worth. It only matters what people are willing to pay for. Are you with me? And so when we understand value in the things that God has placed in it, it's so crucial for us to see that. Because today's values are mixed. People are mixing values. People are losing things over things that do not matter in eternity. And that is a sad situation. Let me tell you one more influencer that is so crazy. Because this kid is 7 years old. His name is Ryan. His channel is called Ryan Toys Review. It's a children YouTube channel, and his name is Ryan Kadji. He's 7 years old and has 20 million subscribers, and his last video was viewed over 30 billion views. 30 billions. And Forbes estimate that as of this year, all of his product sales add up to $22 million at 7 years old. I'm going to ask you something. Sounds really impressive, except for one thing, that at some point, that's going to go away also. And when we mix that of today without an eternal value, $22 million add to nothing on heaven perspective. And there's a lot of people flipping these things, and they're losing their families over their idea to get known. They're losing their lives over the idea to get known. They're losing everything that they've been building for because they don't understand the value of eternity. And David understood that so well that he did something so amazing. David built something called the Tabernacle of David. What's it called? The tabernacle of David. Let me put it this way. David built a room so that the Lord be worshiped 24/7. 24/7. He said, this got to happen. He brought the Levites. He brought the instruments. He brought the priests. He brought everyone and said, 24/7, let no hour of the day and no day of the week, let the Lord be worshiped every single moment. Something so incredible. You know, that is so marked that the tabernacle of David is prophesied in the book of Isaiah. It's prophesied again in the book of Amos. Look at this. In the book of Amos says this. It says Amos 9:11. On that day, I will rise up. And the tabernacle, I will rise up the tabernacle of David, which had fallen down because Israel had gone in sin. Israel had gone crazy. They'd been captured by the Babylonians because they were just out of control. And the Lord said, you know what? I'm removing my hand of blessing and I'm going to let the Babylonians do with you just this short of not killing you because I need you to learn this lesson. And so it comes to the prophet and says, one day when I come back, I will rise up once again the tabernacle of David. I'm going to tell you something. That, my friends, is influential. That the Lord would prophesy hundreds of years later and tell Amos, tell these people that what David built will come back again to life some way and somehow. Not only that, in the book of Acts, chapter 15, listen to this. You and I are Gentiles, unless you're a Jew. And Gentiles, we're having a hard time getting into churches. I want you to think about history of churches. Gentiles, we're having a hard time accessing Jesus. Because a lot of people are saying, hey, Jesus came for the Jews. You have no access to this. But God called one man called Paul, and he said, I want you to take the gospel to those guys. Paul said, I'm on it. Man, and Paul preached his heart out, and he was doing amazing things. But the church of Jerusalem, James, the half-brother Jesus, Peter, and some other of the big guys that walked with Jesus were saying, man, this is crazy. I don't know what's going on. I thought Jesus came for us. So Paul comes to him and says, no, let me tell you what's going on. Tells him all the miracles that God is doing, the way the Gentiles are coming to Christ and things amazing. And so they pray and convene and said, we believe God is doing something amazing in the Gentiles also. So James, the leader of the church at the time, the half-brother Jesus, which is an amazing thing because James did not believe in Jesus as the Messiah. You know when James came to Christ? When he saw his brother resurrected. He did not believe his brother's preaching. He did not believe his brother's miracles. But when your brother dies and comes back and shows up in your room, you believe. Immediately you believe. You're like, yeah, that guy was for reals. And so James just says, hey, this is amazing. I want to be part of this. And so James gets up in front of everybody. Verse 13 of Acts 15 says this. And after they had become silent, so everybody's like, quiet down. There's a big uproar in this meeting because people are arguing, hey, should we let the Gentiles in? Nah, whatever. They can watch it online, all kinds of stuff, right? So they don't be here. So they said, so they become silent. James answers saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon, talking about Peter, has declared how God has first visited the Gentiles to take out of them, to take from them the people for his name. So Peter had this encounter. You guys have seen or probably read about it in Acts chapter 10. So he says, hey, look what he tells us. And with these words, the prophet agreed, just written, look at this, after this return. So James, years, hundreds of years later, said, let me tell you what is the most important thing for the church to know. That God will rebuild the tabernacle of David. Can you imagine that? Here's David taking care of sheep. Meh. Right? That's what he did. God says, I like you, man. There's something in you. Here's David sitting while the sheep are grazing and he's playing his little guitar. Just having fun out there doing some riff. Right? Nobody cares. Nobody knows that guy's out there. His own dad is like, oh, I got 5 kids, I think. Right? Like that's his life. But there, where nobody knew, taking care of animals, playing his guitar, the Bible says that he became a good musician. The Bible says that he was an honorable man. The Bible says that he was a man of war from there. The Bible says that God said, that's my guy, I want him to be king. The Bible says that he understood the value of the presence of God. And built him a tabernacle so that he'd be praised 24/7. then God reminds people hundreds of years later in Amos and says, hey, I want you to know that what David did hundreds of years ago, that matters. My presence all day, every day matters. So when I come back, I am going to rebuild the tabernacle of David. When I come back, I'm going to rebuild the tabernacle of David. And James has this revelation and says, now that the Gentiles are coming into our church, I want you to remember the words of Amos, that God will reveal the tabernacle of David because it had fallen down. And he will rebuild this ruin. And I will set it up, says the Lord. Now look at this. So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name. So what David did thousands of years ago is already echoing into eternity and saying, they're going to come to God because I'm going to build the tabernacle of a guy named David, my friends. He was a true influencer. And here's why. Verse 18, known to God from eternity are all his works. There's nothing you're going to do or ever going to do that God doesn't already know. And it's up to us to now bring all this together with the hand of God and say, God, I know you've put something in my life that matters. And so for me to matter and become influential in my family, in my neighborhood, in my street, in my school, in my job, I'm going to do certain things. I'm going to do it when nobody knows. I'm going to build it there, Lord. I'm going to build what matters the most with is your presence. I'm going to stay together, and I'm going to understand value in everything I do. And when you do that, my friend, then the Lord is going to get behind you and build something amazing, because that's what David did. When nobody knew the sheep, yet he knew them by name, the Lord was already building a legacy. For Matthew 1:1-2 open saying, here comes Jesus Christ, the son of David. If God spoke to you, give him a hand tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.